Hey, welcome everybody to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 KVOI. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. Welcome to Wednesday afternoon, another day where a lot is going on. I realize that I came underdressed to the office today. My boy Bob is very, very dapper.
Well, thank you, sir. I used to wear a tie every day, but that was only when I worked less hours. Now that I got to be here every day, I don't think I'd run out of ties. I think I just get like carpal tunnel from ironing. Hey, I thought of you this morning. Guess what I had for breakfast?
Tony's Pizza's cold pizza.
Tony's Pizza. I don't know who Tony is. I warmed up a piece of Tino's.
Very cool. So you became a sports writer for a day.
For the morning, anyway. I said to my wife last night, I said, I was talking to Steve, you know, about Tino's. Man, it was really good. I said, you enjoyed it, right? And she said, well, if you remember, I only had the salad. And then my 10-year-old looks at me and goes, no, she had a piece of pizza, Daddy.
Kids don't lie.
Because she said, the pizza's going to go to my hips. At least the salad will go, you know, to my head or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, kids don't lie. You want to know something? Find out about talk to them about a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a busy day today, Bob. I know you'll have some great music for me today.
What do we got?
We have the FC Tucson new head coach. His name is Darren Sawatzky. Sawatzky, I think it is. That's how you pronounce it. A longtime coach, a former Major League Soccer player, coming on the scenes. I think they just announced it this morning. I had tried to arrange this over the last 24 hours. They knew they were going to announce it. So that's cool. Soccer's big in Tucson, as you probably are aware. A lot of things going on the south side at the Kino Complex. FC Tucson's kind of a rising team in their league. A lot of things going on. We'll talk about that at the 1:15, 1:16 hour after this segment. And then in the next hour, we're going to talk to Sean Mooney. I don't know if you know who Sean Mooney is, but he's the anchor on Channel 4.
Yep.
He, in a previous life, he was the guy on
wrestling.
The wrestling guy. Yes. A good friend of mine. We had a radio show actually here about 10 years ago. On a different station, and we did it from the Casino del Sol.
He is very talented, and actually, you know how I kind of know him, not very well. I know his brother a lot better.
Yes, Dave?
Chris, actually.
Me and Namesday, what's up, Fred?
You know, Sally, I'm not really sure, but Chris obviously is... He's been with doing El Tour photography as long as I've been over there.
Yeah, he's had one of the iconic poster... photos. I'll get these words out.
That's right, Sally. And he got so accomplished, obviously, that he kind of moved himself out of the nonprofit, you know, spectrum, so to speak, because he's just so accomplished and doing some amazing stuff. It's hard to nab him because he's so busy. But it is fun. Back to Sean. To see some of his old tapes and stuff man, that's amazing that Rivera's in there tearing his head off.
Yes. So I've known him for a long time. We did our own show a while back, and I said,
that's cool.
We come on the show and we'll talk about our old sports time. So we're going to talk about sports, and we'll talk a little about wrestling.
I want to hear an old recording of you.
Of me?
Yeah.
You don't want to see pictures of me with my, yeah. I sound the same. Just more jaded. That's all.
I would just like to know what you're saying, you know, 30, 40.
Same stuff. And I use that word, you know, you can insert your own word there. same stuff, just a different attitude and less, more grumpy or whatever, more jaded.
More grumpy.
That's all. Hey, how was my voice yesterday?
You're more jaded now, you mean.
There's no question.
Yesterday, get off my lawn.
You're
crazy.
Yeah.
So, 30 years old.
So we'll have the FC Tucson, Darren Sawatzky. Sawatzky, I hope that's pronounced correctly, in about 7 minutes. And then Mooney in the second hour at about 2:15 mark. And in between, I think we're going to try to get Sean's press conference. He has it today, or he just had it at 12:30, so we'll look for that. See what he said today about this weekend's game and his team after the big loss over the weekend to Alabama. I'm sure he's going to be very pragmatic about it. He always is. And then we'll just talk, you and I, about the good old days of our radio show for 26 days. We'll reminisce.
There you go.
It's funny, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning, a friend of mine, about the show. And he said, oh, okay, how's the show? I think so. It's going great. I think so. The funny thing about it, I said to X, I said, it's not so much about sports, although it is. It's more about the people involved in the sports and us talking about the good old days and now how what it means and how it all affects them and how they enjoy the sport itself. You know, I think that's true. Is that accurate?
I think you're kind of on the ball there, with the exception of how many days? 1, 2, 3, 4. Five, six, we're at like 30.
We're at the week 6?
Yeah, see, look at that, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, okay.
4, 5, 6, so we started there, so that's 33.
So what are you telling me, I should pronounce my words correctly now? By now? That ain't happening.
Sally, I find you to be extremely entertaining, even when you don't get the right words or names or lengths of time. You got the sports thing down, so you are...
I'm more about analysis and more about looking into things or behind the things and what it all means. I don't care about the score.
The sportage people.
Yes, the sportage people and their philosophy of that sport. You know, I'm hoping to have... I was thinking about this morning. Wanted to have... Coach Candrea in, because we had him in for a brief time,
yep,
about 3-4 weeks ago. And I want to have him in only because in studio for a while. I could have him for 3 hours, or you know, but only I only have 2 hours.
Yeah.
But I want him for 3 hours.
Math thing again.
Yeah. No. But I have him for an extended time because he's such a great storyteller and clever and philosophy and things like that. I think you got a sense of that from Andy Lopez yesterday.
Absolutely.
And he was one of those, or the day before, they all run together, but he was fantastic. And I got some messages on my email and Facebook how they loved hearing him because he's such a good storyteller. He talked about, you know, his heart, his routine now and teaching the high school kids and what he's coming across with and stuff like that.
I think, you know, having the moms call in and Candrea's wife, I think I told you I DJ'd his wedding up at La Paloma, whatever it was. I think they've been married
what,
10, 15 years, yeah, 10 something years. Like that. And but his wife is very dynamic. It would be interesting, being that you're not into the scores per se, the sportage personalities of all these people, to see what their family members say about them.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
Actually, that's a good story. I wanted to have, during the ASU U of A weekend, I wanted to have Cheryl Smith, Coach Smith's wife,
yeah,
to get her perspective on the game and what it meant to him. But during the week, she was hard to track down. But during the week, we found out through his players that he was very intense about it. It was very big time to him.
Yeah, I just think it'd be really insightful to hear from them what they're like immediately after the game. Because, again, back to my daughter and out of the mouths of babes,
yeah,
out of the mouth of spouses, no, I think we could hear some rather interesting things.
That's funny. That's a good story. Let me ask you, do you know or are you aware of, is there like a Wives' Day? You know how they have Father's Day, Mother's Day, Kids' Day. Is there a Wives' Day?
You mean like bring your spouse to work?
No. Just a Wives' Day. You know, when a Wives'
Day.
Could you Google that for me?
Sure.
I don't even know what Google is, so could you Google that? Radio's cool because you have people doing stuff for you.
And nobody can see what we're doing.
No.
Then again, on TV, they cheat anyway because they have earpieces that the producer's saying, no, that's not, that's ZZ Top, Mr. Rivera.
Not. Not 38 Special?
Yeah, they all, like you say, they all kind of...
they all sound alike.
Yeah, they all go into
Yeah, that's why I have you in charge of music, just with the music I like to hear.
Good.
But we'll check. If there's a Wives' Day, I think that'd be a great day to have some wives and get their perspective on their husbands and say, oh, he's a workaholic. Oh, he works too hard. He's never home. Or he's a loving guy. He loves the kids and all that stuff.
And just, the how long it takes for the intensity. I know after an event.
To wear off?
Yeah, well, I mean, like El Tour, I'm announcing, 12, 15 hours that day. And you're exhausted, but when you get home, my mind is, boom, going.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting a call. I think we're getting Coach right now. Coach Darren Sawatsky. And we'll probably go to him right away, talk to him for maybe two segments. I'm hoping we do at least to get a gist of what is going on there at Keno. A lot of good things. They're going into a new league now. And we'll see how good they're going to be and all that. Is that him? Is that Coach?
It sure is.
Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good to have you, Coach Darren. Can you say your last name so I won't mess it up?
Yeah, Sawatsky.
Okay. I kind of maybe had it right a time or two.
Just like it's spelled.
Yeah, just sure. Okay, sure. Hey, welcome to Tucson. I know they just announced you today, correct?
That's correct.
Wow. Well, how do you, have you been in, you've been in Tucson before, I assume.
Yeah, man, it's a beautiful sunny city. We've played many games at the Keno Sport Complex, and I've been down there a few times on my own outside of that too.
Yeah, you were with the Tacoma team. Who were you with?
So down there, we the Sounders U-23 teams. We played in the Western Conference Championship game against FC Tucson in 2015.
Okay, so you came here in the summer.
Yeah, we've been there before. You know, I can't put exact dates on it, but the Tacoma Stars is an indoor team,
yeah.
So we don't travel there. The outdoor teams have been there before.
Well, welcome to our winter. Don't tell anybody about it. Don't tell anybody about it because they'll come in droves.
Brr.
Well, that's why I'm coming, man. I'm excited about it.
Hey, welcome to Tucson. We're going to take a break real quick and then talk to you a lot about what's going on with FC Tucson, everything that's going on new. You're one of the newer things. I know a lot of things, and there's certain things you probably can't talk about in personnel, but let's get back to you on the other side of the break. Thanks a bunch for joining us, Coach.
Yeah, sounds good.
Did you or someone you may know miss the healthcare deadline? Solidarity HealthShare is contract-free and open all year for enrollment. It's recognized by the Affordable Healthcare Act, which means no fines or penalties for our members. Solidarity HealthShare is a nonprofit community of people who share into each other's medical bills and abide by faith-based teachings. You can take control of your healthcare and not allow it to take control of you. More information is available at solidarityhealthshare.org.
My husband thinks he's MacGyver. Give him a paperclip, duct tape, and chewing gum, and he can fix anything for about a day.
Honey, it's freezing in here. Please call Mission Heating and Cooling to fix our heater.
Look, I'm not spending money on that.
Well, Mission Heating and Cooling will do a free estimate, free diagnostic test, and not charge us for the trip.
Don't worry, honey. I've got this.
Listen to your wife. Call Mission Heating and Cooling today at 822-8499.
I want to remind you this Christmas season that the best gifts we can give to others do not fit in a box. Hi, I'm Pastor Roy Tallgren, Executive Director of Gospel Rescue Mission. You can't wrap up a box of love, attention, kindness, hope, or your time. However, it is these gifts that mean the most to your loved ones and friends. At Gospel Rescue Mission, we share these gifts every day with broken men, women, and children who are desperately searching for someone who cares. This Christmas season, remember to take time to bless others by simply sharing yourself. Your support of Gospel Rescue Mission makes a positive impact in the lives of our homeless and working poor neighbors. Find out how you can help at grmtucson.com. Remember, the best gifts we can give do not fit in a box. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored.
Gospel Rescue Mission, there is something you can do.
This is Chef Michael Elefante, and I have an idea for your business. Take your client to lunch, at Mama Luisa's, of course. They'll be impressed by our pasta bar, cooked to their preference, right in front of them. Or try our famous Joe special, with hot pepper seeds, garlic and oil, and topped with cheese and baked to perfection. You'll get their business and some great food. Mama Luisa's.
Since 1956, Mama Luisa's has thrilled your palate with great Italian food. And we cater. 2041 South Craycroft, 790-4702.
The man and the legend, John C. Scott on politics, from 3 to 5 p.m. on KVOI, AM 1030, trusted local news and talk. Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI, AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on the arts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm on the phone with Coach Darren Sawatsky of the FC Tucson soccer team that's going to start here in a few months. I mean, you're probably getting acclimated to this town right now. How long have you been in town?
Well, I'm not currently in town now. I'm up in Seattle taking care of wrapping up my stuff here, but I will be there very shortly.
Yeah. You're a Seattle native, correct?
I am, but I've traveled and lived in quite a few places chasing soccer balls, so...
So you're gonna love Tucson, given the rain up there and the sunshine down here. Are you probably already started kind of getting your team together? What's your situation right now as you prepare to come in and be the coach?
You know, the reality is, you know, the first piece, we're obviously actively looking at roster decisions now. You know, my friend Rick Shantz is the coach at Phoenix Rising, and I'm just so happy for him and his opportunity. He's well-deserved. He's a great coach and a good guy. And, you know, a lot of the roster decisions we make will be based on things that will help him at Rising and to build a winner here. You know, and I need to reach out and talk some more with Dave Cosgrove, who did an unbelievable job last year and just won a championship at Pima. So, you know, it's an exciting time for us.
Yeah, I know. Well, he coached my sons. He's a heck of a good coach. So you'll be picking his brains to see what he had last year and what to expect then, huh?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you always want to take the most information that you can. And, you know, Dave obviously did an awesome job with the team last year. And, you know, I competed in the same league. And he actually took the wild card berth out of the West that we missed out on by a point. So, you know, it's I'd be remiss not to seek out as much information as he can give me, and you know, just excited to get to know him more.
What type of coach are you? A player's coach, or whatever, however you want to describe it.
You know, I played for a coach in college named Clyde Charles. Both Rick Shantz and I did, and you know, his personal connection with players was probably the most important thing and lasting thing. You know, he passed away a few years ago, and you know, it's been tough on all of us, but you can see his influence splattered all over the United States in terms of coaching. So, you know, I would say that I like to be very connected to my teams. And, you know, it's not just about winning games, which we plan to do a lot. It's about the influence and personal relationships you have with everybody you work with.
Mm-hmm. What's been your experience in the league?
In terms of just, you know, our new league?
And how good it is. What do you expect to see from it?
Well, there are some very good coaches that have taken jobs in the new USL League One, and mm-hmm. You know, you expect a very, very competitive group. You know, because the league is new, we'll see how it plays out. But I expect this league to be able to compete with USL level teams out of the gate.
Yeah, you mentioned the connection to Phoenix. Can you maybe further explain that? Because Tucson is a growing soccer community, and it loves its soccer for those, you know, that are in it. And now the connection with Phoenix is going to be a big deal.
Well, our plan is to be Tucson's team, 100%. We are super excited to build something for the Tucson community. We want to be out in the community, and we want people to come to games and have an attachment. I mean, we're our own standalone team, but as part of the pyramid, you know, Phoenix Rising is the mothership. You know, it's our job to try to make them be the best that they can be, and with whatever we can do to help Rick and his staff, we'll do so. I mean, you'll see some players train between the two teams, and, you know, whatever we can do to help them while we build our own brand and win games. I mean, that's kind of the idea.
Yeah. You have a long connection with Shantz. Rick, you were roommates in college?
Yeah, well, I don't, roommates is a, as you know, in college, you bounce around. we definitely lived together. You know, we spent a spring break together up in Seattle. You know, he's a friend. You know, Kier Cochran, who's also a local guy there,
yes.
who's a friend of mine and just an awesome, awesome person. I'm super excited to reconnect with Kier, you know, and getting to know Bobby. He's been great. And you know, John Perlman and I go way, way back. I mean, he's just an awesome soccer guy. So I'm just really excited to get going.
Yeah, no, you throw the names out there, and they're well connected to the Tucson and Southern Arizona soccer community. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement. So when will you be down here, and what will you be your first tasks when you're physically here?
Well, we're right now in the process of working on our roster, designing our preseason. You know, anything that we can do to help Phoenix Rising as they start earlier, and as I said, that you know they're the mothership. Anything we can do, we're going to do that. So we're in process now. You know, I'll be in market end of the month, and we're going to hit the ground running. We want to get out, and I want to get to know everybody that I can in and out of soccer in Tucson, because you know my wife and I and my youngest son who's coming, and we're just excited to get going.
Yeah, it's grown. This FC Tucson thing has grown. I've known John for a long time. In fact, I've had some of his players stay at the house for a while when they were doing the tryouts and all that. Great group of guys. A lot of fun.
Go ahead.
What would be the brand of soccer that you'd play? Not so much you as a coach, but what's the brand?
Well, ideally, I would like to have the best players in the world so that you could play any way you'd like to. But, our idea, you know, I was fortunate enough to take the French formation license, which is, at the time it was about a 2-year course where they, you know, they taught us about the formation of a player, you know, helping form the most complete youth player through an academy system. And, you know, when you do that, you can basically plug those players into any system. If you were to ask about my personality, I'd love to take that. I'd love to take complete players and play a very, you know, attacking possession-based type soccer. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to the personality of the players. And for me, it's always about the players. We will find the very best players that we can, and from that we will develop our style. For me, we will attack, we will work hard, we'll be very disciplined. My teams have always done that, and we've always won games.
Yeah, you've coached for about 20-some years. I know you played a long time in the MLS, 4 years, I think, and then the indoor a while. Just could you talk real quick about the USL, the new league?
Man, I this is what I would say to you. It's such an electric and unbelievable time in soccer in America. I mean, I remember when Rick and I were in college, and you'd have to call three buddies, you know, in the summertime to come play soccer in your backyard to get a game. And, you know, now these kids, you know, the academies are just massive. You know, you're in the summertime, there's leagues everywhere to play in. There's national leagues. The USL has just done an amazing job with, you know, Alex Papadakis taking over and, you know, the growth with Jake Edwards and, the USL championship now. And now with our league, USL 1, and, you know, coaching in the PDL, it's becoming more and more of an integrated system and pyramid in our country. And I think we'll see the benefits of that in the next 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. I would assume when you're here, you'll be able to probably go out and see some of the local youth soccer sports hitting the scene just because you'll have maybe a little time.
I'll make the time. I mean, the reality is, in order to do things correctly, you have to be connected with everybody. And anybody that's open and accepting and is willing to have me around, I would love to come have a discussion about games and the game itself and, players and the growth in the community and how we help it grow and build. You know, Keno is such an awesome complex, and it's such a cool place. We want to try to make that the hub of soccer in Tucson. Not that it isn't already, but, you know, we want everybody to come and we want to be connected. So, that's the way you do it, personal relationships.
Yeah, you've been around, obviously, all over the country and probably the world. How can you compare, or what is the comparison with Keno and some of the other places that you play?
You know, when we played in the that Western Conference Championship game against Rick in 2015, you know, the walking out from the locker rooms, I actually liked the long walk to the field there. I mean, it's not too long, but it, you know, you hear the kids, you know, cleats clicking on the ground.
Right.
And, you know, it's a very European-type, small, you know, professional club atmosphere. And I think that it's super exciting and fun for the players. I mean, it builds up as you get into there. And, you know, the grass there is unbelievable. You know, the stadium, the support groups there, it creates a really cool atmosphere. And, you know, people don't really realize as a player how important that is. It, you know, makes you feel important. You want to fight for your community. You know, Keno creates that, And we really want to build on that.
Yeah. I think you have 3 or 4 months before you start, right? The season starts late March, early April, maybe?
Yeah, we start in late March. We're on the road in Orlando to open, but our first home game is April 13th. You know, you can get a hold of us, get some tickets right away. We want to fill the stands for that game. We bring in an MLS affiliate in Toronto's team. We want to fill that stadium for that first game. For sure.
Right. I know you guys are already kind of get the ball running here. Tickets, you can start purchasing them. I get just a $25 deposit and get your tickets now.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the head ticketing person, but I'll tell you what, if you call us, we're gonna make sure that we take good care of you. You know, at the end of the day, we want it to perpetuate. We want people to love what they see and keep coming back, because the games are entertaining and we're all in this together, man. It's Tucson's team.
Yeah. Well, you'll see now that you'll spend more time in Tucson, obviously, with the team and in the community doing things that Tucson loves. It's soccer. You have to win. Tucson's like one of those places where show me. It's like Missouri. You better show me before I show up. But, you know, they love winners.
Well, I don't plan on coming and not raising some hardware. At the end of the day, pro sports is about winning. You know, all of the things that we do along the way are very, very important. But I get it. You know, you don't get into pro sports to be an also-ran.
Right, right. I think they can go to the website. I know they can go to the website. And I think this is at fctucson.com to get more information on you and the rest of the team, correct?
Absolutely. Come join us. Come visit us.
Yes, great. Well, Coach, I appreciate you being with me. Welcome to Tucson when you get here. You'll miss the rain, but you'll love the sun here.
We can't wait to get started, and I really appreciate you having me on today.
Sure, sure. We'll come back in a month, and we'll talk more, see what's going on with you guys.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Well, that was Coach Darren Sawatsky from the FC Tucson team from the USL, the new league that's going to be coming up here in a few months. I'm excited. I hadn't gone to a game in a while. My friend Dave Cosgrove, I was the coach, and they might have some familiar names in the administration, if that's the right word. Looking forward to seeing those guys back.
Awesome.
Let's go to break here and come back and maybe talk a little about UA basketball.
This Christmas season, get in the holiday spirit with Messiah. Handel's pulse-pounding, earth-shaking proclamation of the birth of Jesus, performed by the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Bruce Chamberlain, and featuring the full TSO chorus. One of the great choral masterpieces of all time, Handel's Messiah will be performed live in the intimate and acoustically designed concert hall at Catalina Foothills High School. Performances are Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. with a matinee Sunday, December 16th at 2. Handel's Messiah is extremely popular, and last year's performances sold out. Tickets are now available at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org, with a 50% discount available for children under 18. Handel's Messiah, Saturday and Sunday, December 15th and 16th at Catalina Foothills High School. Tickets at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org.
Yes, Mr. Willard.
Julie, I just got in. There's no coffee and there wasn't any soap in the restroom. And we're out of copy paper. What's up?
Sorry, we have so many vendors. It's just so hard to keep track of them all.
Well, can't we get our products from one supplier?
There is a solution. Gibson's Office Solutions. Hi, I'm Matt Ewing.
And I'm Josh Ewing.
Give us a call today at 622-6738.
Or visit us online at gibsonsaz.com. Gibson's, your number one source for all things office.
This Saturday, Goodwill of Southern Arizona is spreading a little goodwill with 50% off donated goods. That's right, 50% off donated clothes, shoes, housewares, books, and more. And when you shop, you're doing good, because every purchase you make provides a job and job training for people who really need it. 50% off this Saturday only at Goodwill retail stores in Southern Arizona. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. With Goodwill, it's so easy to do good.
He finally did it!
What?
He got her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger.
Oh. Guys, if you really love her, get her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99. Nothing says you're the best thing that ever happened to me like crispy bacon and black pepper mayo. One bite of warm, buttery brioche bun will leave her speechless.
It's beautiful.
Hurry into Sonic for the new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99.
Tax not included. See menu for details for limited time only at participating Sonic Drive-In.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more, to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Have a time!
Hammer Time is a program dedicated to helping you have a healthier, more comfortable, livable house, living space, and workspace. Get your questions answered about remodeling, construction, paint, electrical, plumbing, air conditioning, property rental, and management, and anything that gives you a better house, building, work, or play space. It's Hammer Time. Sundays 2 to 3.
Hammer Time!
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman is the head of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, plus former State Senator Kelly Ward. During the noon hour on AM 1030 KBOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Anywhere in the world live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KBOI 1030 AM. It was good to talk to the new coach, Darren Sawatsky, of the FC Tucson USL, the new league that's going to be coming up. Do you follow soccer at all?
No, I once my daughter stopped playing, I kind of lost interest. Yeah. Although I'll watch it on TV occasionally, and I just bust on it the whole while, and then my daughter defends it because I'm like,
yeah,
this is look. I mean, the fans are a spectacle, not so much the game.
Yeah, well, the fans are here are pretty rabid too. They really enjoy their soccer. Yeah. Tucson's Southern Arizona is a very big soccer.
Do they
town.
Sing Irish drinking
oh, they,
songs?
They, I think they have a group that follows them. I don't want to say their name only because what I might get it wrong, so I don't want to do that. But they have a following, a fan club, a great deal of support. So we'll see. I mean, this is the new league, a higher up league, so we'll see. I'm going to enjoy seeing them for a time or two. And I know some of the administrators, like I say, they're all coming on the scene now, coming back into town to make this work.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Sean Miller just finished his press conference about maybe half hour ago, I assume, and we're going to play some of that. It's a long one for 22 minutes, so I think we're going to try to break it up in the next 2 hour or 90 minutes that we have here, and we'll talk about it probably after each break. Here we go.
What's your week been like, and the guys all finished the finals at this point, and how's everything going?
Well, you know, it is finals week. Most of our guys are right in the middle of the finals week. You know, tests will happen tomorrow, Thursday, and all the way through Friday. We have a few guys that are pretty much finished up today, but I'd say for the most part, all of our guys have more to do. And, you know, it's a very stressful time for any student in college, finals week. And for our players, it's no different, being student athletes, juggling the demands of practice in addition to preparation for finals, taking the test, all that takes out of you. It's a challenging week, and I think we go and try to do the best that we can to kind of help support them, make sure that we're really in great communication with how they're feeling, obviously checking on their academics, but so far so good. Our guys have taken care of things, and we had a hard practice yesterday, a good practice, and know that we have a big challenge here on Saturday night when we play Baylor.
Did you just take Monday off, or are you going to take another day off?
No, we only took Monday off. And I think tomorrow's practice time might be different just because we're accommodating one or two guys have tests at the time of practice.
How does it work when you have an open week like this? Does it help in the sense that guys can blow off steam maybe on the court, or is it distraction sometimes with them to get them focused on basketball?
No, it's a very difficult week, time management, just you want guys to make sure they get their rest and take care of themselves because they, they have the stress of that exam and the final grade looming. 15 weeks are behind them, and this is it. So, the stress of finals week and the things that go with that is enough, and I think you add on what we give them. We just have to make sure that each of our guys in their own right are sure of themselves and are taking care of things and have the time needed to be successful away from the court. In terms of on the court, that's going to take care of itself. And every day that goes by, the guys are closer to the end, and that's also an incredible feeling when it's all over. So I think when we get to Friday, just about everybody will be done, and then we can focus on the remainder of our non-conference schedule.
When you look back at that game against Alabama down the stretch, what was something that caught your attention about the game?
Well, no matter how hard we try, if you have a team that has great team chemistry, there's always going to be a pocket, maybe several pockets throughout the long course of a season where even though you have great team chemistry, it's challenged at some point. I mean, we have, 13 different players all with different roles coming from various backgrounds, the highs and lows of everything takes its toll. Same thing, I think, if you have a team that plays with great effort and energy, it's very difficult for that to be the case for every single game. You hope, you wish, but it's in our best attempt. It's just it's very, very difficult. Shooting offense is the same. If you have a team that really shares the ball and executes and just for example, a great free throw shooting team or a team that just seems to really execute well, you're going to have those games or a game where that stands out where just you didn't have it. What I would say is, credit Alabama. They had a home game against us, and coming off of a tough loss themselves, they were ready and they did a great job. But by far, out of the 10 games that we've played, that was our worst performance, if we just grade ourselves. We didn't have the wherewithal, the will, the energy, the discipline sometimes to be good enough on defense. Our transition defense, which has been for early in the year constant for us, it really left us for most of the game. And play against a team like Alabama that has multiple guys that can do things in transition, you kind of feed into what they're good at. And that's what we did. The big burst in the first half where they opened the game up, I think, as much as 19 points, that stemmed from a lot of baskets that they got before our defense was set up. At the end of the game, our defensive rebounding left us. When we really needed to get a stop, when we really needed to just get one or two key defensive rebounds. It's hard enough to make the team miss and not foul. And when you don't foul and you get them to miss a shot and you can't get that rebound, it breaks your back. And that's really what happened. I think we had a flurry of 5 out of 7 possessions in the last 5 minutes where they missed a shot against our defense and they got a second shot. And that led to fouls, that led to and ones, that led to a 3-point basket. So that's also happened to our team in Maui where, the game broke open against Gonzaga. And the reason the game, got into double digits was they did the same thing. So we've watched it. We've talked about it. Sometimes the best reminder is a loss because you didn't get away with it. It did you in. So there's a lot of great lessons to be learned from our Alabama game. You know, unfortunately, we took a loss in a game which either team could have won.
So when you have this, based on what you're saying and what you saw in review, and you have an extra couple of days to work on your own stuff, I mean, are you tweaking it a little bit to do a little more transition defense or like you said, rebounding work or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Emphasis, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, no, our emphasis moving forward is, especially against Baylor, is to be a team that blocks out, that has guys given unreal effort on the glass, where it's not just our big guys, it's it's all five. You know, our guards have just as much responsibility, and you know, getting players to come in the game who don't start to really do that well. I think Ira Lee, who's hasn't played his best recently, but is clearly a much, much better player than he's played recently. We're trying to get him back, and that's something Ira does really well. And he could give us that additional rebounding on both ends. And so we've talked to him. This is a week where I think he can get both feet on the ground and play more minutes and get him solidified in a role that can help our team, because he's somebody that is part of the solution to our rebounding. And when we get out rebounded, it's harder for us to win. And when we rebound, with equal or more, the chances of us winning really increase. And Alabama game's a great example. You know, the difference of three rebounds was the difference in the game. So, but yeah, we're emphasizing it, talking a lot about it, and same thing with our transition defense. You know, the other part of transition defense is what you do on offense, because what ignites a lot of transition opportunities is poor play on offense, lack of execution, a turnover, a quick shot that's a bad shot. And we had a few of those things happen as well, which puts more pressure on our transition defense. And on the road, that's even more important, because, as you know, dunks and transition flurries on a home court ignites the crowd, and it starts to work against you. So, but it's certainly, a time in the season where, you know more about your team than you ever knew before, or 10 games in, but yet you have so much basketball ahead that to realize the things that we need to improve on and do it, and, to keep improving on the things that we've established we do well and not lose that. You know, that's what I think a week like this week gives us, a great opportunity to just really practice and work and prepare without any games or travel.
There you go. Earlier on Sunday, after the loss to Alabama, he talked about how his team had very little practice time, so it wasn't really prepared for that game and getting ready. There's, the fundamentals and stuff. So that's what obviously they're going to be doing this week, as they have a whole week off before Saturday night's late game. That was about 8 minutes of it. We'll go to break right now. We might listen to some of the rest of it at the other side before we end the first hour. Let's go to break, Bob. Thanks a bunch for listening, everybody, to KVOI, 10:30 a.m.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 1/2/19. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb.
My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support for victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog and new best friend.
We help more than a million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030, KVOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 10:30 a.m. I think, Bob, we'll watch and hear Miller for another 4 minutes or so, and then we'll go to break at the end of the hour and talk more about what he has to say.
Rebounding, because a lot of it seems like you know what you have. A lot of it seems like maybe it's sometimes just effort and focus. I mean, how do you deal with that in practice, or is it, do you get as much out of it going over film with a guy and saying you need to do this, or is it, you know, just maybe some repetition actually on the floor with blocking?
Both.
In terms of Ira, Sean, and the less minutes he's getting, and maybe some anxiousness when he gets in there, is that one of the reasons you identify he's been a little turnover prone when he's gotten in the game?
Yeah, I mean, Ira Lee's a good player, and we watch him every day. You know, players go through different parts of the year where their confidence can waver, and no doubt, you know, that's the period of time that he's in, but you can quickly bounce out of it, get out of it. And, you know, the good news is this is a week where we really have 5 or 6 days where we're not playing a game, and we can focus on ourselves. Someone like Ira can really focus on stringing together consecutive good practices, which will lead into the game. But we need him. This team needs him. He's definitely part of the solution. When you start talking about who's the best rebounder on our team, per minute played, it's him. Him and Chase are our top two rebounders every day. And, you know, being able to play them together some, being able to play Ira for longer stretches and rest to Chase. And so that does two things. That has an active rebounder in the game, and it also allows Chase to play the minutes that he's the most comfortable playing, where he can be at his best. So, but Ira's going to improve. I'm confident of that. Certainly slowing down, you know, not setting illegal screens, not fouling. Those are all things that are under his control, and we're really trying to show him the areas that he can clean up, and we can help him clean up, coach him, teach him, and then have him carry that into the game. But he's a big part of our future, and we want to keep it that way.
You mentioned the illegal screens. I'm curious how guys are adjusting to that new emphasis this year.
It is, and, you know, Ira, the part that's hard is he might be our team's best screener. He takes great pride in doing it. You know, he can really move. He's agile. He takes pride in it, and he's not a little guy. You know, when he hits you, good things happen for our team. It's just, you know, the discipline of, like, jump-stopping. Instead of, you know, having your feet continue to move, not ever using your arms. And sometimes he does both of those other things. But game experience cures that, and that's something that's plagued Ira and our team. But we're working hard with him to get out of that. And, you know, when he can go stretches without a turnover and without some of these fouls, that's how you build confidence as well.
Yeah, new rules like that, how much time do you actually have to spend emphasizing those things and how to adjust to those things?
We talk about it. Usually that's done in the month of October when we introduce officials to our practices. They remind the players, and the players see it and adjust. But, you know, as much as it's a new emphasis, I think some of the fouls that are being called have always been called. You know, when you set a screen, you got to stop.
Baylor, like you referenced, pretty good offensive rebounding team. Is that as big a deal concern for you Saturday, or what else do you expect from Baylor?
Well, Baylor hasn't had their total cast of players. You know, they've welcomed back, you know, Mario Kegler, who's a terrific transfer from Mississippi State, and we're aware of him. He's just starting out, but he's only played in two games, and you know, Mason as well, who is a very good player, you know, has missed a couple, and you know, they have not played a game since December 1st, so I'm sure they're healthy and really putting things together. But they're a lot like Alabama in that they have a number of starters and reserves who are very talented players, play in a great conference. They're used to playing in big games, and I'm sure this is one of the marquee non-conference games on their schedule, especially with the time they've had to prepare, being that it's an away-from-home game. But they're an elite shot-blocking team. They're an athletic team. Many different players, balanced scoring. As you can see, they have five players in double figures, or four, almost capable of five, and they certainly can beat you on second shots. You know, they also have a way of blending both zone defense and man, and we haven't faced a lot of zone this year, so, you know, we're obviously preparing for that. They have great length in their zone. They're not, they're one of those zones that, you know, you can't see over them, and they've historically done a good job with their zone. So
there you go.
There you go.
Well, I think he's going to keep going on about his answer there.
Yeah. Are we back now?
You are there, buddy.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Hey, so you saw him very even keeled, even tempered. Just another day at the office for Sean Miller. I thought he made some good. Well, did you see that he was kind of, you know, matter of fact? Pretty simple.
Just he doesn't seem to waver at all.
It's called Wednesday in Sean Miller's world. Not a big deal, just dealing with the media. And a couple of quick things. He talked about Ira Lee. Ira Lee has struggled. He has not been that good of a player to this point. He admitted that. He does need him. He absolutely needs him on the bench to score and to rebound and to do some of the dirty work. It hasn't happened so far, which is kind of sad. Although, you know, Arizona is 7-3 and as we expect it to be. But they need some help on that bench, and Ira Lee is going to be a big part of it. There's another big game with Baylor this weekend, Saturday night at 9, very late. Almost, you know, it's Pac-12 in the dark, or after dark, in the dark, all that in the dark, whatever. And we'll see how they handle it. But they're getting practice, something they absolutely needed, because last week they had little practice before they went to Alabama, and it showed. Transitional defense was bad. A lot of the rebounding was bad. And Alabama's pretty good. When you add those two things, then it's not going to be a win on the road.
What was the question about the referees? Something about...
Ira Lee has gotten into a lot of foul trouble. He's an aggressive player. He's kind of like a bull in a china shop. And they were talking about is the new rules that are being applied, are they affecting him? And that's when they – well, typically before the season started, Arizona has scrimmages and things like that, and they bring in refs to call the scrimmages.
Oh, to help them out.
To help them out and get used to the play and the physicality of the game.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, so and that's how they get better. They just need more help from Ira Lee. They need more help from Dylan Smith offensively. He's doing a good job defensively. Mark Marcello, who knows what they're going to get from him. But there's no question that Arizona needs to play better against the better teams because they didn't look that great over the weekend against Alabama, and they were good enough to beat UConn about 10 days ago.
I like that he said just flat out, we need Ira Lee.
Yeah.
You know, instead of going, well, all of our players are a valuable part of the team and we come together, he just flat out, we need him.
Let me tell you something. He's a very smart guy. And a heck of a good coach. They just need to play harder for him, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go to break here and come back on the second hour. Thanks for listening.